We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Baisley, cash me out.
There you go.
Nice. Bert Horford catches, kicks, Dort for the win. It's good! Pokuševski catch fire three, and that is good. For the lead, Gilgeous-Alexander got it. The Thunder lead by one.
What is up, Thunder fans, and welcome to the Uncontested Postgame Podcast. I am your host for tonight, or at least was your host tonight in the locker room chat. Taylor had another really fun postgame. In the locker room app, so be sure to download that. I know some of you guys have Androids, and it's not quite yet available, but I promise you they're working on it. So please be patient with us, because we're excited to get you guys involved as well. However, tonight I broke down the 129-102 loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Battle of the Tanks that the Thunder actually won, if you put it that way. So, you know, glass half full, or hopefully more full than that. As the Thunder drop another one to help improve that draft positioning. But also there was a lot of fun things to break down from this game. I broke down the game in general, went into some positives and some negatives. And then there was some Thunder signing news of some players that they're potentially bringing in from overseas, as well as, actually this was dropped, I guess, before Darius Miller was waived per Shams Charania of The Athletic. But nevertheless, we broke down some of those potential Thunder players that the Thunder can be bringing in, what all that means moving forward, and just so much more. So thank you to all of you who tuned in to the locker room chat, and thank you to all of you who are tuning in, listening on the podcast form. Be sure to stay tuned. We will have you guys covered for Saturday's nice game against the Sixers, as well as next week, another full slate. So without further ado, here was my postgame breakdown on the locker room app. Thank you guys all for joining in, tuning in here to the locker room app to join me for this post-game breakdown and a little more, as I hinted at earlier, as the Thunder end up losing quite a bit to the Cleveland Cavaliers, 129-102, or in other words, you know, glass half full, the Thunder out-tanked the Cleveland Cavaliers, 129-102. Guys, just from the very beginning, it was a back-to-back for the Thunder as they played last night against the Hornets. We saw Poku and Teo just have awesome games. Not so much tonight. We'll dive into that a little bit, but a lot of guys, including those two, looking very tired. Not only was it a back-to-back, but it was the third game in four nights. And if you go back to, I believe, last Saturday, they also had just wrapped up another three game in four nights. They had a break in between on Sunday, started another three games in four nights on Monday, and the Thunder, and this isn't an excuse because this is many, many teams in the league right now, have been playing a lot of games in a shortened period of time. A lot of that due to not only, you know, COVID protocols and guys missing games and having to cancel and reschedule games, but also just this shortened, not even shortened season, but this compressed season due to COVID and the bubble ending late last season, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So Thunder have been playing a lot of games. Not only have they been playing a lot of games, but they've had a lot of quote unquote injuries, you know, kind of put the quotations around injuries because, you know, Lindor's been out for like, what, almost 2 weeks now with a quote unquote concussion. But you have guys like Roby and Josh Hall who genuinely do have concussions. Muskie being held out with a ankle injury. Horford sitting out the rest of the season, essentially, but still on the bench, which was awesome to see. Baisley still a little banged up, battling that shoulder injury. And then obviously Shays. Foot injury, his plinter, the side of he's battling currently. So Thunder didn't have a ton of players. They haven't had a ton of players over the past couple of weeks and played a lot of games, and that definitely showed tonight. So just a super quick breakdown of the game for those of you who weren't able to watch, because I feel like a lot of the themes I took from this kind of came almost from the first half. Like the positives, a lot of that came from the first half. The second half, not a ton to take from it, just because, like I mentioned earlier, there's so many games being played in such a short period of time, and the Thunder are shorthanded. So just and you know, gives me some content to talk about, because that first half genuinely was fun for the Thunder. Tao comes out firing, scored 8 of the Thunder's first for 14 points. Svee was hitting from outside. He was looking good again after kind of struggling over the past week or so. You know, that first week or two with the Thunder, he really was looking great all the way up to last week. And then this week he struggled some, but it seemed like in the first quarter he really kind of started to get it going once more. Kenrich hit a big three-point shot and just was doing Kenrich things, which I'll get into. I love him so much. Then Poku had a stretch where he finally got it going. I say finally. He really kind of started to get it going about midway through the first quarter, towards the end of the first quarter, kind of like he was last night when he was just going off. He kind of struggled. He didn't make his shots early on in this game, but had a stretch in the first that it looked like the poker from last night. So at the end of the first, the Thunder all tied up at 38 points. Thunder shot 62.5% from the field and 66.7% from three. I actually didn't put the attempts here, but they were on pretty high attempts. I mean, again, 38 points each for each team after the end of the first. Both teams were just firing. Colin Sexton was hot. Obviously, Garland. Both teams were just firing. It was a lot of fun. Second quarter happens. The Thunder keep the shooting going, but Tao and Poku both kind of struggled to score there. A lot of that was due to, you know, Poku kind of struggled, so Daigneault took him out. And then Tao had two early fouls, so Daigneault took him out as well. But the other Thunder players shot up. They stepped up. Sorry, I'm reading ahead. They shot 55.6% from the field, 50% from three. And something that was interesting to me at halftime, the rebounds were nearly identical for each team, but the Thunder only made it to the line 5 times to the Cavs 16, and the Cavs had 15 points off of 11 OKC turnovers. So yes, the Thunder were making shots in the first half, but they're turning the ball over way more than the Cavaliers were, and the Cavs were making them pay for it. And even rebounding, that's really kind of where I think the first half, the Thunder kind of gave the Cavs the upper hand. And from there, the Cavs basically just didn't look back. They come out in the third, Garland guarded Poku, seemed really kind of to fluster him. That's something I kind of want to dive into here in a little bit. Poku really kind of seemed to struggle with a more aggressive defender on him, obviously smaller than him by quite a bit, but I thought that was a great adjustment there by Cleveland at halftime. Really kind of got up into Poku's grill and caused him to make some turnovers for some shots, and that really kind of got him off rhythm for the rest of the game. Ty Jerome caught fire. Cavs got off to an 8-0 run. And like I said, they didn't really look back. Thunder got outscored 28-14 in the third, and Garland got it going. Kevin Love looked really great. A little bit of resurgence there. It's good to see him healthy again. And Isaac Okoro got going as well. I really like what I saw from him. I think that's going to be a really fun player to follow for the Cavs moving forward. But the fourth quarter, not a ton happened, but just a couple things I wanted to mention. Kenrich continued to fight, diving all over the floor for loose balls, getting rebounds, jump balls, and it got to the point where he was bleeding, had to be taken out of the game. And this might have happened towards the end of the third quarter when he actually started bleeding. He still comes back into the game. Just remind me of Nick Collison. I just had to mention that. You know, he's always making those kind of Nick Collison-like plays, even though they played kind of different positions, have different styles of play. They're always in the right position, super high IQ guys, battling for loose balls, like I mentioned, rebounds. Kenrich just had some incredible cuts, especially on the baseline there in the second half, and that was a major highlight for me in the fourth. And then I think I kind of hinted at they're accidentally – got to this point when I was going through the third quarter. But Ty Jerome caught fire and continued to make shots. He sets a new career high, which we'll get into. And then something just kind of fun. Dignault plays the Twin Tower lineup of Moses Brown and Tony Bradley together. Nothing really happened when he did it, but we got to see it. So, you know, there we are. So the Thunder, like I said, they looked like a shorthanded team tonight that was just absolutely exhausted. Not to make excuses at all, but they looked exhausted. But the Thunder improved their pick with a Thunder loss and a Cavs win. And OKC is now going to be tied with the Cavs and the Wizards in the loss column with two more games against the Wizards coming up and just a lot of games over next week, honestly, in like next week or two in a short amount of time where, again, it's going to be a couple back-to-backs, some traveling. It's going to be kind of tough even if the competition, I guess, outside of the Jazz and we have the Sixers coming up. After that, the teams are kind of in the same tier that we are, but just with all the travel and everything else, the shortened period and the amount of games in a short period, I think is really going to play a factor like we've seen recently. So that was kind of a breakdown of the game. But like I mentioned earlier, I have some themes from the game that I want to break down. I like to break each game down to negatives and positives, and I always end on positives. You guys have listened to us before. You know, I always like to end on the positives because I'm a positive person. And then, of course, a lot of fun Thunder or not a lot, but some unique and kind of a surprising Thunder news today that we found out about in terms of the Thunder signing some players, even a mystery player. So stay tuned because after I get through some themes, there's I'm going to break down some of these potential Thunder signings. And then I want to get you guys up on stage, talk some Thunder basketball. And yeah. So a lot of fun stuff to talk about here. The negatives though, let's start with the not so fun stuff. The Thunder got out-rebounded 55-48, and that's not a huge deal. I mean, again, it's so hard to take negatives from this, right? Because the Thunder are essentially playing the OKC Blue out there with Poku and with Teo. And yes, I know Poku played in the G League bubble, but those are obviously two guys they have long-term investments in, and then a lot of guys that could potentially – and Kendrick Williams, you could probably throw him in there as well, maybe Svi. But it's just like a bunch of guys that they don't necessarily have a super long-term investment in yet. They're still kind of filling that out. Again, roster exploration, as Dignault has called it so often over the past couple of months, with Teo and with Poku. And so there's not like a ton of negatives you can take from that, but the Thunder still got out-rebounded 55-48. And although the broadcast had it listed as like 44-44, I don't think that was correct. And against a team like the Cavaliers, who weren't really playing a true big outside of Kevin Love, that's a game that we've seen here in the past or the past 2 weeks or so where Moses Brown has just tore that up. And bring in Tony Bradley, I know he's still trying to get situated, but those are two guys that should have had a lot more rebounds tonight than they actually did, even with Moses getting another double-double of rebounds tonight. I feel like he could have had another big game like we've seen from him here a couple of weeks ago. That's a lot of credit to the Cavaliers, kind of a team similar to the Thunder, just playing scrappy. It doesn't matter if they're smaller than the other team, they're come out fight and fight. But still, I felt like the Thunder, and just the way that they play, they could have had more rebounds tonight than they did. And I think a lot of that, like I mentioned, has to do with them just being tired. Second, I have a back-to-back, a lot of games in a short period. Kind of to that point, and for similar reasons, 15 turnovers for the Thunder tonight. Again, a young and inexperienced team. I mean, you have Teo and Poku essentially as a focal point points on offense with a bunch of young players and a bunch of kind of role players. And guys just trying to even to make it in the league, that's going to happen. I get that. But also, I think a lot of that had to do with fatigue. So that's something else I just at least needed to mention. I accidentally clicked on something there. There we go. Tony Bradley, I mentioned him a little bit ago. So Tony Bradley's really interesting. I heard a lot of positive things about – I say I heard. I mean, I watched him with the Sixers. He seemed really impressive. Or not – that's maybe overstating it. He seemed impressive. I liked what I saw from him, especially for the role I thought he would be playing for this team. You know, the Sixers fans really talked him up. They said he showed real flashes. And I get it. Coming into a brand new role, past midway through the season, on a team that's not really contending. Not only that, but like some of the best players, if not all of the best players, are currently sitting out right now. So it's not like he got to kind of start with those guys this season, right? He's just kind of thrown to the mix here. I understand why he would be struggling, But with all that being said, I kind of thought he'd be a little more effective, to the point that I even wondered, just because I'm not sure that Moses Brown or Tony Bradley either are long-term solutions to the, or sorry, are solutions to being like, you know, the long-term center for this Thunder team, this Thunder organization, with this repositioning, replenish, this rebuild that the Thunder find themselves in. I was expecting a little more out of Tony Bradley. Again, especially in a night like tonight, he still looks like a guy who's trying to find his footing. And even then, I'm not even sure if he's like, just from what I've seen, again, and I'm not sure if he's quite as aggressive as somebody like a Moses Brown even. 5 points tonight, 4 rebounds, 2 of 4 shooting. Again, just fine. And in 6 games, he's averaging 9 points and 6 rebounds. That's great for a backup center, especially in this situation. I just thought maybe there'd be a little more there. And there hasn't been yet. And I'm not going to judge him too quickly. But again, I mean, this is a post-game breakdown, so for this game, I'm going to throw him in the negatives. I'm just really curious to see how he continues to develop throughout the rest of the season, especially in the OKC organization. And then I'm excited to watch him in the offseason, see, first of all, what they do with him, they being the Thunder, and two, how does he progress and what does he look like after an offseason under his belt with this organization, if that is what OKC decides to do with him. And then, unfortunately, our guy, Poku. I had to throw him in the negatives, guys. And you know, it just tears at my soul. I love Poku as much as the next guy. Alexei Goku Shevsky, whenever you know, he goes Super Saiyan. That was super nerdy. But I saw that on Thunder Reddit. Shout out to all of our Reddit listeners, because that was an awesome Photoshop that somebody made. And he was just on fire last night. That was so fun to watch. And it really kind of showed the potential of what I think Poku could ultimately be. But tonight, he kind of came back to earth. 3 of 12 shooting, 4 turnovers. And he struggled against more aggressive defenders on the perimeter, like I mentioned, especially Garland there at the beginning of the second half. And that really kind of threw him off his game, to the point where it kind of got to the point where Dignall took him out. And part of that was because, I mean, Poku's played a ton of minutes. I know he was tired. We could see it in him towards the end of games over the past week. And so I think this was an excuse for Dignall to be able to come in and or to take him out and just, again, roster exploration, continue to watch some of these other guys like Jalen Howard, you know, had a decent game tonight and kind of stepped in and took some minutes from Poku there to give Poku a rest. But all that to say, Poku did struggle some tonight. Again, nothing like long-term to take from this. There were still a lot of fun things to take from Poku's night tonight. For example, that step back three, I can't remember if it was in the first or second quarter, but it was in the first half where he had just this ridiculous step back three. He had, like I said, he had a stretch there in the first quarter where he rattled off like 5 straight points and looked like the Poku that he did last night. And just some incredible court vision stuff, but still not strong enough with the ball. He's going to continue to have to work on that. Some of that's going to come in the offseason when he improves his physique and continues to get bigger and stronger in a strength and conditioning offseason program with OKC Thunder. And also just more feel for the game and you know, just understanding his height and length and having a smaller, more aggressive defender on him, like a Colin Sexton or a Garland. You know, that's going to come with time as well as strength and conditioning, but that's still something he has to work on. And so again, for tonight specifically, I had to throw him in the negatives. But enough with the negatives, let's jump into the positives, because there were quite a few to take from this game, even though it was quite the butt-whooping. Kenrich Williams. I love Kenrich. I told you guys, this Kenny Hustle, and I actually tweeted this out from the account during the game. But it, like preseason, I wasn't sure if Kenrich Williams was even going to make the team. You guys can go back and listen to some of our preseason podcasts when we were breaking down the preseason games. I wasn't even entirely sure if Kenrich would be on this team, if the Thunder should cut him and, you know, keep Frank Jackson, like all of us were saying. Kenrich was one of those guys kind of on the line that we weren't sure if he was going to make it or not. So if you would have told me back then that tonight on, what is this, April 8th, 2021, that I would be tweeting out that every championship contender needs a Kenrich Williams type player, or I said every championship contender needs a Kenrich Williams type player on their team, I would have called you crazy. However, I tweeted that out today because that is exactly the kind of player that you need on a team of super, you know, around a team of, or a couple superstars at least, right? We keep talking about trying to surround Shea with another superstar, trying to get that in the draft at, you know, more elite talent. But I think the reason we saw a guy like Kenrich stick after the deadline and not get traded away is because, like I said, that's the kind of guy that you want on your team to to put around some of these elite stars like a Shea and whoever, a Poku, and whoever else that you draft in the upcoming drafts. So Kendrick had 12 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals. And I threw this other stat in there because it just shows how aggressive he is, how he's fearless no matter what. 5 fouls. And I love that. I love it. Diving on the floor, going for loose balls, trying to get rebounds, you know, just always aggressive, making the right plays. I talked about some of those cuts that he had. I love that he had 5 fouls. That's fantastic. You need some of that grit that he brings to the floor. And again, I really hope to see Kenrich continue to play like this first and foremost moving forward, but also stick with his team long term as they, you know, kind of reposition themselves to still a term from Sam Presti to a contention again. So, like I said, at one point he was bleeding. I think I mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast, bleeding. It reminded me of Nick Collison. Just, I love it. I love it. So, Kendrick Williams, my first positive. My next one I have here, I won't go quite as long on, but Moses Brown. He still had another double-double, 13 points, 11 rebounds, more monster dunks, just super aggressive. I really love what we continue to see from Moses in terms of, like I said, his aggressiveness, his ability to use his size to his advantage. You know, a lot of times you see guys that are that big and they really struggle because they're either slow, maybe not so much passive, but just genuinely slow, maybe even a little clumsy, but not so much. Moses has great hand-eye coordination, obviously. And I love how he's always going for the dunks. Like there is a play, in the second half where I think it was Ty Jerome. I can't remember exactly, but somebody went to the rim, got fouled. They missed, you know, their layup that they got fouled on. But the whistle had already blown. And here comes Moses out of nowhere and with the putback dunk because he couldn't stop himself by the time that the whistle had blown. And I love that he's always looking for that. You know, he's not a stretch. He's never really going to be a stretch big. I don't think he's going to be a modern big, but he certainly is good at the role that he plays. And it's going to be really interesting to watch him long-term, where he kind of fits in the league and make potentially even this Thunder organization long-term, if he is kind of almost a Nerlens Noel type, or like a lot of people have said, just due to his height, a Boban type in the league. We will see, but I wanted to go ahead and throw Moses in there tonight, even though I think he probably could have had more points, more rebounds against a team like the Cavaliers. So two more really quick, then we'll get into these unique Thunder signings that I'm excited to talk about, and I'll get you guys up here. We'll talk a little bit, answer some locker room and Twitter questions and get out of here. But Théo Maledon, overall, not like a eye-popping game from him, especially after last night when he had another 25 points alongside Poku and just looked incredible. But 14 points on 6 of 17 shooting, 1 of 6 from 3. But the thing I love the most about that is he shot 6 times from 3. He shot another 17 times from the floor. I love aggressive Théo. I love what we were seeing from him. I know he doesn't necessarily have a ton of assists, but what he's doing is creating opportunities for teammates. And you know, I think this period with Shea and with Lou and so many other players out, but specifically those two being guards, has really given Théo an opportunity to advance his, not his career, but just really kind of get more experience, I think, with this offense, with this system, and just more confidence overall in his game. It's almost like this is almost like Teo's bubble, right? He didn't go down to the G League for obvious reasons, and I think that was best for him because he got a lot of good experience alongside Shea and Lou and Al when everybody was still playing, right? And when Poku and Moses and guys like that went down to the G League. So this little stretch right here has kind of been his quote-unquote G League, and we've seen him make leaps against actual NBA talent, though, and not so much G League caliber players like some of these other guys. And so when they went down to G League bubbles. So I really have been impressed with Théo, even if he didn't have it necessarily as great of a night as he did last night. He scored 8 points early on. Like I said, he looked like the Théo last night and then only ended up with 6 points the rest of the game. So that's obviously not great, but you know, he was in foul trouble. He's exhausted. Second night of a back-to-back. He's been playing a lot of minutes here recently, like I mentioned, quite a bit here throughout the podcast. And I think just overall, I just love seeing his aggressiveness. So Teo's another guy I threw in there in the positives. And last but not least, saved him for last on purpose, Ty Jerome. He didn't hit a single shot last night against the Hornets, but he scores a career-high 23 points, 9 of 16 shooting, 5 of 9 from 3. I mentioned aggressiveness with Théo, but in a different way, I loved Ty's aggressiveness in terms of his shot. His outside shooting, that really opens up not only the floor for his teammates, but it opens up the lanes and the driving lanes for him and his game as well. And him being able to not only, you know, be a spot up shooter, but also just it just opens up so much more versatility for his game. He mentioned that, and I don't think it was tonight. Maybe it was last night, a couple games ago, earlier this, whenever it was. He mentioned the coaching staff wanting him to be more aggressive with that 3-point shot, and we've been seeing that for him here. Or we saw that for him tonight, and you know, if he can continue to do that, especially when you're pairing him long term with guys, and I say long term, like being like next season, everybody's fully healthy, you're competing somewhat again, assuming we're competing again at that point, at least early on in the season, you have like Shea and everybody healthy around him. You're throwing Ty in like alongside a guy like Shea. That's going to open up driving lanes for Shea when Ty is hitting those shots. And, you know, and Shea can really play make and create for Ty as well. And so I'm really excited to kind of watch how he fits with this team long term. I know I'm saying that about a lot of these young guys, which is kind of like, you know, again, that's the point of this roster exploration period, which is what the Thunder coaching staff is kind of calling this period right now with all these Thunder players out. But Ty has looked great. I'm really excited about him and think that is a piece that the Thunder view. I shouldn't say long term, because that, you know, kind of infers that maybe, you know, 5 or so seasons with him, but at least over the next couple of seasons, I think it is a guy that they're invested in. And so he's been fun to watch. It's been fun to watch his development, and definitely a nice piece, young piece to continue to add on to this young core. So, one other positive. Dagan Dalton mentioned just a quick little aside in his press game interviews that he was doing with the media. He mentioned, you know, that the Thunder are getting to a period, you know, where they're finally about to get some guys back. Obviously, he's probably talking about guys like like Roby and Hall. But I would not be shocked to see Lu Dort come back here soon. There's only so long that you can hold a guy out due to a concussion. And I kind of think that Presti and Lou and the Thunder are kind of stretching that boundary there. So I don't know. Maybe Lou will miraculously for the Thunder, you know, get some like random injury that they can throw in the injury report and send him out long term. But I don't think that's the case. I think Lou will be back on the court shortly, maybe even as soon as Saturday. We will see. And to be completely honest with you guys, I mean, obviously this has been great for the Thunder and their picks, but I am excited to see guys like Lou get back on the court. Shea's going to be interesting. I heard Royce Young say recently on a podcast that he's under the impression that it's both Shea and the Thunder's intent to get Shea back on the court as soon as possible, maybe not as soon as possible, to get him back on the court before the end of the season. So we'll see. But I think Shea's going to be much more long-term. He's not really anywhere close, would be my opinion, where I think we could see Lou as soon as this weekend, if not maybe on Monday's game.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, again, I think that's all I have really from tonight's game. But like I mentioned, some interesting things happened with the OKC Thunder today in terms of signings and how it lines up with tomorrow's date, which is the last day to waive a player in the NBA. The Thunder apparently signed Gabriel Deck, a 6'6" forward from Argentina. He played in the EuroLeague for Real Madrid. Per Shema De Lucas of MeBalancesto.com, he's expected, he being Gabriel, is expected to sign a 3-year deal which is really surprising. Again, there's a lot, I think, that could go into that. It doesn't mean that he's going to have 3 years guaranteed. It could very much be like a quote-unquote three-year deal like we've seen Moses Brown have with the Thunder or Lou Dort have with the Thunder, right? I know not necessarily 3 years, but just in terms of how the contract could be constructed, it doesn't necessarily have to be guaranteed. It could literally be guaranteed for the rest of this season and the last 2 years non-guaranteed. I mean, there's no telling how they're going to structure it, but it still is very interesting that the Thunder are willing to bring him in you know, with that kind of contract rather than just a 10-day, which wouldn't make him, I understand that, wouldn't make him want to come from overseas to play for the Thunder. But regardless, it's going to be very interesting to see the details here, probably within the next 24 hours to 48 hours, after the waive deadline comes through or whatever. We'll see who the Thunder end up waiving. There's been, you know, we all have talked about Muskie getting an opportunity with the playoff team. We've talked about Darius Miller potentially. We'll see. Also, you have the 10-day contract, right, coming up that will end here sometime next week with Jerome. Or I always want to say Jerome Robinson with Justin Robinson currently on a 10-day with the Thunder. So that will open up a roster spot. That's not like a two-way where you have to fill that spot with another 10-day player. That's just going to be another open roster spot. So that will at least open up one. It's going to be really interesting to see when Gabriel plays, which spot he takes. Does the Thunder waive any more players? I didn't even mention this part. He went undrafted in 2017. He's 26 years old and averaging 8 points, 3.7 rebounds, 1.2 assists in 24 minutes. But he had 19 points in Wednesday night's win to help send Real Madrid to the playoffs. The regular season's over. The Thunder make the call, and he apparently has probably landed at this point in OKC. So I find it interesting, again, that he's also 26 years old. I really think the Thunder are just elite in their scouting. Pressey is unique in the way that he, you know, views everything, always trying to do something different than the other GMs, rather than just using that last roster spot as like a 10-day rotation, a rotation of 10-day players as like almost like a sort of tryouts. He's thinking, you know, we've had our eyes on this kid or guy, 26 years old. He's basically my age from overseas. Why not bring him in, see what he's capable of? That's why I think this is probably like an end of the year, end of the season deal, and then 2 year non-guarantees type thing, where he can still make some money if they decide to waive him and it'll make it worth his time to come over, even if he gets waived. But the Thunder also get an opportunity to view him. And it's a player that they otherwise probably wouldn't have been able to do that if it weren't for this season and the situation with injuries and everything else. That's kind of my, I guess, hypothesis on this guy. It'll be really interesting to watch him, how he fits with his team and how many minutes he actually gets going forward. But I kind of think that's probably Presti's thought process when it comes to him. Now, I mentioned the reporter, Shema De Lucas. Shema also reports that this Vasilije Micic has rejected a renewal offer from Real Madrid and will play for OKC. Actually, I don't know if he played for Real Madrid. I think I butchered that. I recently saw it. But regardless, he was overseas as well. He will play for OKC next season. Now, you guys might remember Micic. His draft rights were traded to OKC in a Horford trade this past offseason. Now, he's also an older player, 27-year-old guard, drafted in the 2014 draft by the Sixers, basically a draft and stash overseas. He's also Serbian, like Poku, which is kind of cool. And this is I actually got this from Brandon Rabar of Daily Thunder. Shout out to him. 16.4 points per game, 2.7 rebounds, 5 assists, 1.2 steals, on pretty decent shooting splits. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see where he fits as well, because you also have Vit, who they drafted, the Thunder drafted this in this past draft. A lot of international players that they're bringing over, where do they all fit with the roster moving forward? You know, obviously they have potentially up to like another 3 draft picks in this upcoming draft. There's going to be a lot of young players, not so many roster spots. It's going to be interesting to see how Presti balances this all, but he's already making promises, right, to at least the first two guys that we mentioned. And it's going to be interesting to see, like I said, where these guys, like, two-way contracts, full contracts, how do they fit with the team long-term, especially with them being a little older than guys like Shea and then obviously the rookies that the Thunder are going to be drafting long-term. But I will say this about Micic. A lot of NBA fans and specifically Sixers fans are really excited about him. They've watched him for a long time, ever since the Sixers drafted him in 2014 or got his draft rights. They've followed him overseas. He's had a really good career there, and they think he can make an impact back over in the NBA. In fact, somebody that we follow, and I'm going blank now, who does cover the Sixers, actually tweeted out, you know, that he was excited that Micic will have a chance in the NBA, but he was sad that wasn't going to be with the Sixers. So again, just what a perfect opportunity for Sam Presti to take swings on guys like this and to bring them over. In an instance, I think, when he probably wouldn't have prior to this and other seasons, right? And this is just the perfect opportunity. Everything's kind of lined up for him to be able to do this. I'm just curious how he's going to balance bringing in guys like this compared to, or not compared to, but in addition to draft picks. With so many draft picks coming up, but specifically this upcoming draft, like I mentioned, I think there will be like three draft picks that he'll have. So obviously there's going to be some efforts, I think, from Presti to combine draft picks and trade up in the draft. But that is another locker room chat for another day. So, and then I forgot about this. So as many Thunder fans know, and for those of you who aren't Thunder fans who are tuning in, a shout out Noah, saw him join the chat. One of our good friends who joined us fairly recently, who covers the San Antonio Spurs. So Noah may not know this, but for all of you who don't, the Thunder, whenever they bring in a new player, Sam Presti and the organization always makes them go through or encourages them to go through the OKC Bombing Memorial. From the terrible bombing back in, I guess, 1996. That's been a tradition ever since the Thunder came here in 2008, I believe, is when they started it. It might have been a little after they came here in 2008, but regardless, it's been here for a long time. And so there's a picture, I think it was from Thunder Care's Twitter account, but I can't remember that now. Bad podcasting. But of some of the newer players like Tony Bradley, who was just recently traded, you know, Jalen Horde, all the two-way players who recently signed, Robinson, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, all these guys went through and were going through the memorial as basically required by the Thunder organization. But there was a mystery player in the first picture at the very end of the photo. He had on the same hoodie as the rest of the guys. But nobody really, the OKC Thunder player hoodie, he was in jeans, but nobody really knows who he is. So I am extremely interested to see who that is. You know, a lot of us Thunder fans, we tweeted out from our account. I know Stephen Dolan, Steve Thunder fan, tweeted out as well. That's what I think when I first saw it. Quite a few people were tweeting out wondering, who is this? Is this a player? You know, there's a chance. Our own Justin Peabody from our podcast mentioned this as well. Maybe it is a somebody on the staff who just recently was hired, but he looks young. he kind of looks like an NBA player. He's pretty tall, pretty fit. So very curious to see who that is. Is he going to be another guy on a 10-way contract or a 10-day contract? I don't know. But regardless, thought I would throw that out there as well. So a lot of fun, interesting stuff still happening at this part of the season for the Thunder, even with the trade deadline being over. So at this point, whoever wants to speak, go ahead and jump on. I haven't really gotten to scroll through the chat yet. So while I'm waiting for you guys to request to speak, I'll go through there and see if there's any questions I can answer. I also asked for some Twitter questions. I don't know. I've gone longer than I thought I would on here. So not sure if I'll be able to get to those, and I apologize. But if none of you guys request to speak, I'll go to Twitter and answer some of those as well. So don't be afraid to hit that button. Jack McFadden 20 minutes ago said, I got a question I want to ask. I'm not sure if he's still in here, but if you are Jack, go ahead and hit that request and come up here and ask a question. Let's see. A lot of comments, not so many questions. So Noah asked, that's an interesting tradition in regards to the having the players go through the bombing memorial. Any particular reason why? So obviously this was a horrible domestic terrorism thing that happened, almost 26 years ago, I guess. And it really is deeply rooted in the tradition of Oklahoma City, and the history, I guess I should say, of Oklahoma City. And Presti is very much, and the Thunder organization as a whole are very deeply rooted within Oklahoma City and the city as a whole. They really, you know, when they first got here, it's a little different now. The OKC has grown so much, but when they first got here back in 2008, you know, OKC was known for being a blue collar, hardworking city. The Thunder really tried to embrace that, especially with some of these young guys like Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant coming in. You know, it just, it really kind of fits seamlessly with the Thunder in Oklahoma City. But the one of the major things I think that Presti really focused on was integrating the team within the community. And one of the best ways he felt he could do that was by teaching them the history of the city and having them go through that memorial, which is just such a huge event in USA history, but also again, especially for the city. It's a really moving experience. You know, if you ever get the chance, be sure to, and you're ever in Oklahoma City, definitely. I know that doesn't sound like a fun thing to do, but it's just really, really incredible and moving to go through that museum and memorial. And I highly encourage all of you to do that if you haven't already. So that was a really good question from Noah. Let's see. I just had one from my little brother. I don't know where it went. Okay, so here's Silver. Reports that two international players turned down playing in Spain. And those were the two that I mentioned, Gabriel Deck, and the other one was Micic. Again, that the player that the Thunder got the draft rights from the Philadelphia 76ers in the Horford trade. So Silver asks, what do you see in them and why did they want to turn down those opportunities to come and play for the Thunder? So the second part of that question is the easiest. Obviously, the Thunder promised them something. Well, for lack of a better term, promising, right? I kind of mentioned that with Deck, that a multi-year contract where he was at least guaranteed some money would make some sense. Once we see those details, I expect it to be something similar to that. And then I think just for, you know, Micic, just looking for the right opportunity to come over. I think with a team like the Sixers, you have Ben Simmons and other guards around him primarily. Probably just wasn't the right opportunity for him to come over. And he probably wasn't the money either that he was hoping to get to come over, because they both were probably, or at least Micic was probably paid fairly well overseas compared to like a minimum contract in the NBA. So I would assume bigger roles, similar money to what they were making, and an opportunity to prove themselves in the league. To answer the last part of your question, Silver. And what do I see in them? Honestly, I see two kind of hidden gems. You know, we talk about the Thunder. For example, they were one of the first franchises, really, that I know that were out there scouting alongside like the Hawks and maybe the Bucks. Maybe those were the three organizations really scouting Giannis Antetokounmpo. We know that they were linked to Porzingis and that first draft that he submitted for and then ended up pulling out of. The Thunder were heavily rumored to have a lot of interest into him. And then obviously like Pokuševski, I think is the most recent and best example. They scout internationally. And so, like I said, a season like this, even a season like next season, are the perfect opportunity to bring in some of these prospects that they have been looking at rather for a long time. In the case of somebody maybe like Deck, who is 26 years old, Micic, who I don't know if they've necessarily scouted that entire time with him, the draft rights being with the Sixers. But just, like I said, just a perfect opportunity to bring them in, see what they can do. Especially when you have these roster spots open rather than just rotating out 10-day contracts and players within the G League or wherever else, bring in some of these guys and see what they can do. So that's not the best maybe answer to that question, Silver. Obviously, I'm kind of in the dark here as well. I'm not going to lie and pretend like I've done anything else than just like watch a couple of YouTube videos of them. But all that to say, I'm super just intrigued and again, impressed with Presti for taking another unconventional route with something different in the NBA, right? And it just shows how incredibly intelligent he is and good at his job he is. But we'll see if either of these guys even turn out to be anything. So thank you guys again. I know none of you guys jumped on, but that's okay. You guys gave me a ton of great questions, a ton of really good content. And I'm sorry to all those of you who submitted questions on Twitter that I wasn't able to get to. You guys know me. I can talk for a long time, and here we are. So thank you guys again for tuning in to the Uncontested Postgame Podcast. I didn't mention this at the beginning. We are a proud part of Blue Wire Podcast Network, the official podcast of Oaktown Hoops. Stay tuned. We will have you guys covered Saturday night as the Thunder face the 76ers at 8 p.m. Central Time. It's a little bit of a later game for a Saturday night. That'll be fun. So be sure to stay tuned. We'll have you guys covered for that. I think our guy Justin is on the game. And we'll have you guys covered the rest of the season. We're really excited. Have some fun things planned. Obviously, we're going to be looking at draft prospects here and continuing to follow these Thunder picks. So stay tuned. Thank you guys again. As always, Thunder up.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.